We have rejoiced. We are glad in it. How many of you come on? I got a ringing up here, Brent, a little bit. I don't know. How many of you are glad? And when you come to Sunday services, you're coming to hear the word of the Lord. It is a part. It's not all that we do. But when you come to hear the word of the Lord. Do you? Okay, now what I mean by that is not a message that Delbert has prepared, but the word of the Lord, what the Lord is saying to you. Do you do that? If you don't do that, then you're missing it. You need to come. We always need to have a teachable spirit and a teachable attitude. A lot of people won't receive from anybody unless now they'll read a book or they'll listen to a tape and they'll get it. But the way God's purpose and the way He's orchestrated it in the New Testament is that we come together and we corporately feed one another. And that when you come, you're not hearing what I have to say, but you're hearing what God has to say to you through me. So I want us to make sure that we have that attitude. Always make sure, because we're missing it. And if you don't have that attitude, eventually you will pine away, and eventually you will slip away from the blessings of God. So when you come always ready. A part of the corporate getting together is teachings and revelation, and of course with tongues, interpretations of tongues, spiritual songs. All of these things are what the body of Christ does as it comes together. With that said, let's look at Luke chapter 12. I don't preach to preach. I preach because God is ministering something to me. And I basically, usually, always minister out of what I'm being ministered, what the Lord is speaking to me. I am wanting to speak to you. And over the past little while, He has been ministering to me eternal aspects. We've looked over the past several weeks at eternal judgment. We've looked at the past 2 weeks at the will of God. And this week we're not going to be talking about the will of God, but this could be an etc. to that thought. Because this is so hooked up with that particular thought. The message that I'm going to share with you today is what I want to call a portrait of a fool. The portrait of a fool. I mean, we need to be able to identify a good-looking fool, don't we? A biblical fool. We know people that will do something idiotic and we'll turn and we'll walk away and we'll say, maybe under our breath, say to ourselves, "You fool." And what we're saying is that this person is void of sense. They're not doing it correctly. They're not doing it at least the way that we would do it. So therefore, they're a fool. A fool is not biblically somebody that's in a mental institute. A fool is not biblically somebody that is lacking sense that way. What I want to look at today is what makes up a biblical fool. And it is a biblical term. Jesus told a parable about it, and that's what we're going to be looking at. 12th chapter of Luke, Jesus is ministering as He did. And the very first verse of that chapter tells us that there are multitudes of people that He is talking to. That the people are there in multitudes. In fact, there are so many people there that they're stepping on one another. And He begins to teach them and teach His disciples. First His disciples and then the people. And it's very interesting, you know, He always needs to teach the disciples first because they're going to take that message. And so He's teaching the multitudes of people here. And He's sharing with them about the kingdom of God. He's sharing with them about His covenant. He's sharing with them how life works. He's sharing with them how we function as citizens and children of God, citizens of the kingdom of God and children of God. And it's very interesting how He goes through this section. And I want to lay it out for you, and then we want to see what's happening here. First thing he talks about the leaven of the Pharisees, and then he talks about nothing is covered that's not going to be revealed. He talks about who we should really fear. Don't fear the person that can just kill your body, but fear him who can after he has killed. And that's what the verse 5 says, that after he has killed, that he can send you to hell. In other words, don't. You mean God can kill? God would kill? Well, that's what the Bible says there in verse 5. You can look at it and see. But that's not the point. The point is that don't fear him because he can kill. Fear him because of the eternalness of what can happen to you after breath leaves your body. That's what you fear. He's talking about that. He's talking about God's knowledge, about sparrows, about hairs of our head. He talks about, Jesus says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before angels. He talks about blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He talks about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit will tell us what to say when we need to. And he's in the middle of this deep, tremendous kingdom theological teaching and sharing about his covenant and how it works. And all of a sudden, up walks this guy out of the crowd and says, "Sir, Master, Teacher, Rabbi, hold it a second. I have something that I want you to help me with. I've got a situation going on in my life, and what you're saying here is really good. I know all these people, these multitudes, they've come to hear you share and teach, and it's really nice and really good, deep teaching what you're sharing here, but I have a crisis. And what I want you to do is I want you to minister to me and my brother. You see, my parents died, and we have this inheritance, and my brother is the oldest brother, and so he's taken all the inheritance, and I want you to tell my brother to give me some of the inheritance." Now, get the picture. Okay? This is what's happening. A multitude of people, and up out of the crowd comes this guy. "Hold it, Lord. I've got a little crisis here that I want you to help me with." Well, Jesus addresses the guy. Then he uses the guy for an example. Doesn't call the guy a fool. Does tell a parable about a fool. And then goes right back into his teaching. And he finishes it up. And he goes back into this teaching. And he starts again in verse 22. And he talks about don't being anxious about life. Don't worry about things. Life is more than things. He talks about ravens. He talks about lilies. He talks about grass in the field. He says, don't seek eating and drinking, but seek first the kingdom of God. And he talks about selling and giving to charity. And he finally finishes up this section here in verse 34 with where a man's treasure is, you know, there his heart is. But I want us to get the picture. I want us to understand what's happening. Here is the people, and a multitude of people, and out of the people, out of the crowd, walks this guy, and, "Lord, I have a crisis that I want you to deal with. What you're saying is really nice and good, and it's good, deep teaching. But I have an economical crisis in my life, and what I want you to do is address it for me. I want you to fix my economical crisis." And that's the setting that I want to read this section from, and let's read it. And then we'll go back and we'll discuss it. Beginning at verse 13 of Luke chapter 12. "And someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?'" How many of you have ever gone to Jesus about your finances? How many of us have ever went about our finances? Is this the answer that you would have expected? It wasn't the answer that I was expecting. But when I started to see this, "Lord, I have an economical crisis." "Man, who appointed me judge over your economical crisis?" I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. Verse 15. "And then he said to them," first he says, "Man," he addresses this dude that comes up out of the crowd, and then he turns to the multitudes and he says to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. Who's he talking to? You ever talk to yourself? I talk to myself and I answer myself. Now, a lot of people will say, well, it's okay to talk to yourself, but when you start answering yourself, you've got problems. No, I talk to myself and I don't understand somebody talks to themselves and doesn't answer themselves. I was looking at this morning. I said, I'm talking to myself, you know. I'm up here and I'm praying about this word. And I think nobody's here but me. And I say, I think that's verse 20. And so I look at it and I answer myself. I said, yeah, that's verse 20. No, nobody here but me. And so it really it dawned on me that I don't only talk to myself, but I answer myself. And you do too. So this guy is talking to himself. Verse 18, and he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, now who's he talking to? First he's talking to himself, now he's talking to his soul. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. You've got a big savings account for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, verse 20, you fool, this very night you're what? Your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? First he talks to himself. Then he talks to his soul. What has he put into his soul? What has he said to his soul? What has he fed his soul? Greed, possessions. And then, what is required of him? What does God come and require of him? His soul. What was in his soul? And then, verse 21. So is the man. How is the man? What does that mean? So is the man. Who? So is it. So it is. So is what? So is the fool who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ and His covenant, wanting to understand more of your word, wanting to understand more of your covenant, wanting to understand more of the way God thinks, wanting to take these things and not only know them, but do them, apply them to our lives, and not be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Allow us, O Lord God, as we hear what the Spirit is saying to us today, to receive it, to have a teachable spirit. Minister to us, Lord God. Let us not be foolish. Let us understand that a day will come when our soul will be required of us. Let us make sure, Lord, that we have deposited in our soul what you will require. In the name of Jesus, I ask these things. Help me now as I attempt to share with your people. In Jesus' name I pray. We all say, amen. So we see the picture. We see what's happening. A lot of people, multitudes, so many that they're stepping on each other. Out comes this guy after all this deep teaching of Jesus and says, hold it. I have a financial crisis, and I want you to help me with my financial crisis. And the Lord responds to the dude, and he says, man, who made me an arbitrator, a divider over your goods? Who made me to fix your financial situation? Now, we have all prayed about our financial situations to the Lord. I have, you have, but maybe this will help us just a little bit. You see, the Bible's pretty clear about some financial things that we need to do. It tells us that we need to tithe. We know that. We also need to give. We know that. I've ministered to you the principles of economics of the scriptures, an 8-1-1 aspect that if your debts amount to more than 80% of your income, then you're in trouble because you need 10% at least to go to God and 10% at least to go to you. If you're not having 10% of your finances just for yourself, then you're not having an abundant life. And all of your goods are going, and you're going to end up crying to God and asking Him to help your finances. And what's He going to say? Man, come on. And this is the situation. And I want you to see what's going on here. And God's standing here, and Jesus is listening to him, and all of a sudden then he turns after he's made this statement, which to me was not a real compassionate, at least the way we look at compassion, which is not real compassionate to this, for this dude, this man. And he looks at the people and he says, take heed. Beware. Watch out for covetousness, for greed. Now here's the guy standing here. I mean, let's get it. Okay. Here's Jesus here talking to us all. Okay, I come out of the crowd. I walk up here and say, Lord, my mama just died. We got this inheritance, me and my sister, and she's taking everything. I want you to get her straightened out. Man. See, when the Lord ministers something to me, I want to minister. It's alive in me. This is alive in me right now, folks. I just told you something about my life right now. So, you know, here's the Lord ministering. And then he says to the people, take heed. Beware. Covetousness. Take heed. Beware. What does he mean by that? What's that mean? Well, covetousness is something that we battle all of our lives. Greed. How many of you have ever had a spirit of greed to come upon you where you wanted this? I want it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to take it. How many? Okay. And the rest of us need the spirit of lying ministered to us. How many of you have your children and they'll be playing with another kid? And all of a sudden, it may be their toy or may not be their toy, but they want that toy. And you gotta set the attitude correct. Now, you might not call it a spirit because it may be the flesh, but anyway, you gotta deal with this thing. You know, you gotta address this situation. And this is what we're talking about here. And it's an Adamic nature. The first Adam, it's the nature of the flesh to want greed. And so what Jesus is saying here, watch out, take heed, beware. This thing's behind the bush and he's going to jump out with a knife and stick you. I see it kind of like the LA riots, not the riots, but the gang things where they ride them down the street and they and shoot people or a robber on the street corner where beware, watch out. You got to take care because this thing's going to jump on you and it's going to get you and there's an eternal effect to it. And that's what you got to beware of is not that just greed will come, but that there is an eternal effect to greed. And that what it does to you affects you eternally. Beware. Take heed. Because even though you get all these things, you're still not having life. Life is not in possessions. Is that what he says? Now here's the guy standing here. Now, okay, here I come up again, Lord, my sister, my situation. Here I'm standing here, and the guy look, and Jesus looks at you, and he says, beware, don't be like him. Is this what he's pretty much doing here? Then he says, I'm going to tell you a story. He says, there's this guy, you see. He's a very productive man. He had plowed his fields. He had got the stones out, got the stumps out, the roots out. He had planted it and it was very productive. He was very, very much an entrepreneur. He was very productive in life. He was very active doing good in life. He was filling up his barns. And he became at the point in his life where, man, it got so much that he says, what am I going to do? I have got so much. And he starts talking to himself. Self, he says, look at you. You are a bad dude. What you going to do with all this stuff? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns because I want all my stuff together. I don't want nobody else to have my stuff. I want to share my stuff. It's my stuff. Spirit of greed. Covetousness. So he puts his stuff. He builds his barns and he puts his stuff in his barn. Now please notice that everything's cool. The Lord God is not getting after him because it's productive. How many know that in the kingdom of God we're supposed to be productive? He says that if you don't work, you don't eat. How many knows we're supposed to work? He says, I will give you the power to make wealth. God wants us to be productive in the kingdom of God. He shows us, he gives us talents, he gives us abilities to do things in the kingdom of God. The problem here, listen, the problem here is not possessions. The problem here is covetousness. The problem here is greed. The problem is not having. The problem is that the having has him. And so he wants these things. And so he's prosperous. He's a productive person. And as long as he's talking to himself, things are cool. God doesn't mess with him as long as he's talking to himself. Now, he becomes so adapt. He becomes so prosperous. He builds his big barns and he stores his stuff up. And then he starts talking to his soul. Soul, look at you. You are bad. You have got a big savings account now. You have made it. All these things that you've always wanted, you got them. You're set up for many years. Is that what it says? You got it now. You're set up for many years. You can set back, buddy. You can eat, drink, and be merry. You can go to any restaurant you want to go to, any place you want to go. You can eat lobster or steak or whatever your little belly wants. You can drink the finest wine any place. You can be merry. You can travel. You can go anywhere you want to go. You can do it. You have arrived, soul. So what he's putting into his soul is everything but the kingdom of God. Is there any mention there where he's talking to his soul about the riches of God? Soul. You got it made. Lay back now. Play with your grandkids. Lay back now. Be cool. Think about your grandchildren's weddings and think about these things and have it made. Just lay back. Now, I do want to emphasize again that there is absolutely nothing wrong with possessions. Thank God for people who have entrepreneur and are businessmen and who bless the kingdom of God with abilities and talents that God has given them. But when this becomes soulish, when this becomes covetousness, where God has to be put on the back burner, where there's an audacity within this, even this man, to walk up to Jesus as he is teaching and preaching the wonderful truths of the kingdom of God and say, whoa, Lord, put that on the back burner just a minute because my situation, my economic situation is more important. You see, this is my kingdom. You're talking about your kingdom, but my kingdom are possessions. And you just hold off for a little while now and let me take care of my possessions. When those things happen, then we are in problems. We have trouble. But God. What did he say to him? What did God say to him? But God, you fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now, did God come when the guy was ready to release his soul. Did the guy have plans? He was going to sit back, man. He was going to eat, drink, and be merry for years, the Bible says here. He had his plans. But God said, tonight, your soul is required of thee. You see, we have this image that what we're going to do in life is we're going to attain, we're going to get possessions, and then later on down the road, I'll start seeking God. I'll start seeking the riches of God. But right now, what I really want to do is I want to get things. But God said, you fool. I don't know, you know, how many believe in hell? And you know, the Lord has really been ministering this to me about hell. You know, we don't talk about hell much. In the charismatic churches especially, we even play like it's not there. But how many know that somebody's going to hell? Now, I know it's not any of us. I mean, you understand. But somebody's going to hell. And God has really been quickening this to me that we have left this out of our message. That there's something here that we need to get a hold of and understand. That there is a real hell, and I don't know how we perceive that day that we've been talking about, you know. But there's a day that your soul is going to be required of you. You see this, right? There is a day, and you don't have anything to do with it. You don't get to pick when your soul will be required. He does all that, and all of a sudden you're in the presence of God, and all of a sudden you have to give account of yourself. And I don't know how it's going to be. The Bible really isn't clear, except that there will be an account that will have to be given. But maybe it's like a big screen that comes up and your soul is projected on this screen. And all of a sudden you see what you have put in your soul, because it's your soul that is required of you. And so the question that I want to project to us is, what is in our soul? What are we putting in our soul? Are we putting possessions? Are we putting things? Are we putting the riches of God in our soul? What is in our soul? We go through life and we get in these situations and circumstances and problems, and somehow we get our way out of them. If we get in a bad situation, we'll find a way to talk our way out of it. Or if a bad thing happens in town, we can move town. We can change cities. If a bad thing happens at work, we can change jobs. If a terrible situation happens that we get in a financial mess, we can borrow money. We'll figure some way to get out of the situation. But folks, let me tell you, on this day, when we go and our soul is required of us, there ain't no talking out of it. There ain't no borrowing out of it. There ain't no moving no more. That's it. We got this thing in our head that we're going to get out of it. I don't know how we think. You know, we walk up there and we stand before him, and he says, okay, who are you? Oh, you know me, Dad. Hey, bro. Hey, geez. How you doing? Who are you? Oh, you know, I'm the miracle worker. I cast out devils, remember? I did prophecy. I don't know you. You know, there is a day that's coming that our soul is required of us. And what are you putting in your soul? And then he says this, in verse 21, so is the man. King James says, so is he. So is he what? Pardon? So is he a fool that does what? So is he a fool that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich. Look, and is not rich toward God. Folks, there is eternal judgment. There is more to this thing, listen to me, than shaking a preacher's hand, coming to church on Sunday. Well, I come to church every Sunday. I pay my tithes. This guy was a good Jew. He was very productive. I don't care if you're born in church. I don't care if Dr. Cash delivers you in this building. What's in your soul? Are you doing the will of God? Are you putting in there, are you talking to your soul about things and possessions, or are you talking to your soul about the riches of God? There is a real hell, and I don't know what's happening to me except that I am being stirred in this dimension in my life. And I know that there is a day coming that it's going to be required of me. Well, I'm healthy. I'm not going anywhere. So was Anthony Sprayberry. Remember Anthony Sprayberry? 20-year-old guy, had all these plans, just got married. The guy ran over him, hit him with a car. Gone. That day, his soul was required of him. But I just went to Dr. Cash. I got a good checkup. What are we putting in our soul? You don't understand, preacher. I have got to work to pay my bills. Jesus would say, you fool. You don't understand. My children, my wife, my husband. Jesus would say. Jesus would say, you fool. Fear not your wife, your children. Fear not your bill collectors. Fear him that once he's killed you, verse 5, once he's killed you, can send you to hell. I don't like the way you said that. I'm sorry. I really want to get this across. Do I think God goes around killing people? Oh, let's read verse 5. Verse 5. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. How does that read to you? I don't know how else to say it. You want me to teach you the truth. You want me to say to you what God is saying to me. Folks, that's what I see. What about eternal security? What about it? Many are called, few are. Folks, there is the will of God, and then He's going to require the soul. You see, this is an etc. from last week. And so is it. So is he. So is the fool that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Rich towards God. See, God just will not be put on the back burner for anybody. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all of these possessions, all of these things will be added unto you. This is just what's been happening in me. This is what God has been speaking to me. We've left a major portion of what Jesus Christ himself taught, which was a major portion about hell. There's a real hell. There's a real eternal judgment. There's a real day that our soul is required of. Amen? Question today is, are there any fools in the house? Question today is, what are we putting in our soul? Please don't let that be offensive to you. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to minister to us. I'm trying to share the Word of God. He told this parable for a reason, so that we could guard our hearts. Beware. Take heed. Greed will get you. Tell you how easy it is. I need to share. My mama passed away. I'm not going to cry, and I'm getting all that again, okay? But they had a house full of stuff. A house full of things. Things I really don't need. Things I didn't know that were there. Had 3-4 of everything. And so now Daddy doesn't want this stuff. He just wants to be down there and remember Mama. And all of this stuff has got to be dealt with because now my nephew is going to get by their old house. And so we've got to clean it out. So we're going through all this stuff. Stuff that we didn't know she had, that she didn't know that she had. And we're fussing about the stuff. Now, we're really not fussing. I won't let it come to that. But we've talked about stuff, haven't we?
Well, she's getting this, and I didn't get it.
Went over there, and all the pots and pans were gone. Nice pot. Mama loved to cook big pots, nice pans. They were all gone.
I don't use pots and pans!
But I didn't like it because they were gone! Greed! Beware! Take heed! Can you hear me? Dr. Grimm, do you all go through anything like this when it happens? Beware. It's an eternal effect, folks. It's the eternalness of it that I'm wanting to minister to. There is a day that is required of you. Your soul has to be projected before God. And what is in it? What have you said to your soul? What is in your soul? Is the riches of God primary, or is it on the back burner? Does everything else come first? And then God, if you have time, what is in your soul? Pray. Father, thank you, Lord. I know in my heart we've heard it. I know we don't necessarily like it. But I know it is a message that you want your people to hear. I ask you, Lord God, to minister to us now. In the very depths of our hearts, in the very depths of our soul, there is nothing more important than putting into our soul the riches of God. Help us, Lord, to grasp this truth. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You don't know Jesus Christ. There's no way you're going to avoid hell because you don't even have a clue. Because the things of God, you can't even understand them. They're spiritually discerned. And you can't even discern them because the Spirit of God is not in you. And you're going to go to hell. You don't know Jesus Christ. And He's tugging at your heart. And He's tugging at your soul. And He's saying, come back. I want you here. I don't want you. I'm calling you. I'm wanting to choose you. I have something for you to do. This is you today. You want to meet Jesus Christ. You want to avoid eternal damnation and eternal hell. It's you today. Raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Any? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us, God. Well, I'll do that. Father, help us now. The Spirit of God has ministered to you today. And you notice that from time to time, the spirit of greed gets you. Time to time, things become more important than God. Things, doing things, going here, going there, making plans. God and His purposes that you know are His purposes get shoved back on the back burner so that you can fulfill your plans, eat, drink, and be merry, so that your soul is being fed the wrong stuff. This is you, and God has spoken to you. That you need to watch it, beware, take heed. It's you today. Would you slip your hand down? Amen. Most of us. Amen. Thank you for your response. Father, I pray now. Lord God, that you will minister to us, and that if we do not truly know you, if we do not truly, Lord God, amen.